Feeling the Earth Move. Ohio takes action against natural gas drilling.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. Ohio has temporarily banned hydraulic fracking in some parts of the state after a series of rare earthquakes, including one that rocked Youngstown over the weekend. Eve Troy joins us live from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk. Good morning, Eve.
Good morning.
So, Eve, earthquakes in Ohio, that seems surprising. What happened?
It is surprising. There was a 4.0 quake. That's unusually big for Ohio. But state officials say 11 quakes have happened in the past year, all linked to this one natural gas well close to Youngstown. So they're pretty sure it's fracking that's the problem. That's when drilling companies inject high-pressure fluid down into layers of rock to get natural gas out. The industry says there's no proof that causes earthquakes. Still, the state has banned fracking, first at this one problematic well, and now at 5 miles around the well. That means 5 wells total are closed for the foreseeable future.
Ohio is not alone in trying to restrict fracking. How have other places dealt with the risk?
Well, fracking is going on all over the country, and there are many, many efforts to restrict it. Ohio follows Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas on regulating fracking near earthquake sites. In Pennsylvania, that's the state that's maybe made the most money on fracking. There have been efforts at a state ban, but those haven't gone far. Yet in the state's major industrial city of Pittsburgh, the city council unanimously voted to ban it. Now, on the flip side, in Colorado, the state Supreme Court just ruled that cities cannot ban fracking. But local towns there are pushing back. They're making drilling companies pay for tests of local water supplies. So in 2012, we're going to see a lot more battles over fracking. They're only going to get bigger in Washington and in city halls all around the U.S.
Our own Eve Troh. Thank you, Eve.
Thank you.
Next week, car makers unveil new models at the North American International Auto Show. Cadillac hopes to make a strong showing in the luxury category. It's a different story for Ford's struggling Lincoln brand, though, as Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton reports.
Cadillac is well on the road to reinventing itself, at least in the U.S. After the success of its CTS model, Cadillac will unveil the ATS, which aims to compete head-to-head with the Mercedes-Benz C-Class and the BMW 3 Series. Aaron Bragman is with IHS Automotive. He says the ATS is Cadillac's push into the global market.
Look at us. We are a serious competitor for the established German brands, and here's the proof of it.
Still, making Cadillac a global brand won't be easy. It has only a small foothold in China and virtually none in Europe. But Lincoln should have such problems. Michelle Krebs is an analyst with Edmunds.com. She says Lincoln suffered from Ford's habit of buying other luxury brands.
They own Jaguar, Land Rover, Volvo, Aston Martin. They put money into those brands, transforming them, and Lincoln basically got ignored.
Now Ford is investing $1 billion in Lincoln, and the brand has its own design studio. But executives admit the reinvention of Lincoln could take a decade. I'm Tracy Samilton for Marketplace.
European markets are mixed this morning. London's FTSE is up 1.2%. Paris's CAC 40 is off 0.5%. BP is suing Halliburton for the entire cost of the 2010 Gulf oil spill. That's estimated to be more than $40 billion. Halliburton cemented the faulty well that caused the oil leak. U.S. markets were closed yesterday, but they ended 2011 on a down note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 0.5%, closing at 12,217. That is 5.5% higher than where it started the year.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
More than 2 million manufacturing jobs were lost during the recession. Companies have started hiring again, but they want workers who are more highly skilled than the ones they laid off. So they're turning to local vocational programs for help. From the Changing Gears Media Project, Niall Abudu reports.
They are grinding and cutting.
Under the watchful eye of welding instructor Leo Suri, students are cutting through sheets of metal at Richland Community College in Decatur, Illinois. The school only has enough shop space for 12 students at a time. But this year, there's been so much demand for welding courses, the college began offering classes overnight.
We go from midnight to 4 a.m.
That's Richland's Douglas Brower. He's a vice president at the school. The college is building a new workplace training center that will allow it to more than double the size of its vocational classes. In the meantime, the midnight welding class is especially popular with workers coming off second and third shifts at nearby Caterpillar, maker of heavy construction and mining equipment. Brower says other local manufacturers are also looking for skilled workers.
Everybody seems to be in more of a hiring mode.
The jobless rate in American factories has dropped from a high of about 13% in January 2010 to less than 8%. But these days, manufacturers are looking for workers with sophisticated skill sets. That means not just more welders, but people with training in both mechanical and electrical engineering. One of the greatest needs is for machinists.
Tool number two is the 201 drill.
Symbol Job Training is a for-profit vocational school north of Chicago. It mostly teaches students what's known as computerized numerical control, CNC. It runs most machines on today's factory floors. In this class, students learn CNC programming. John Zawoyski says he hopes the course will help him get out of his current warehousing job.
I was making pretty good money in my last job, got laid off. I haven't been able to find that kind of pay anywhere else, so I got into the machining.
Zawoyski hadn't heard of machining until a counselor at the local employment office told him it could be a good career. And that's the problem with the employment pipeline, vocational instructors say. Most people may think there just aren't any jobs in manufacturing anymore. In Chicago, I'm Nyla Boodoo for Marketplace.
And finally, the price of Powerball tickets is doubling. Now a chance at the multi-million dollar pot will cost $2. It's the first price increase in almost 20 years. On the bright side, the odds are better. Instead of a 1 in 195 million chance of winning, Powerball players will have a 1 in 175 million chance. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.